Surrounded by a gray drape of velvet, falling, suspended, caught in a web of silken thread. Particles, ether, wrapping around me. Descent, downward, a gentle float, caught by, perhaps, a web of thought. In the distance, I see the flickering light of a flame, the tinkling sound of glass suspended like a wind chime. I take a breath, collapse into my thoughts. Pull in another breath and slowly open my eyes as the consciousness of my dreams pull into my body. The flashing light of the flame is transformed into the brilliance, the glory of the sun. My breath pulls in the resonant value of the sounds of the morning birds. I open my eyes wide and take a breath and say, "Wow, thank you for giving me the experiences that I shall have today." Welcome to Isologic Radio, everyone. I am Patricia Cleveland, your host. The focus of this show is to demonstrate the connection between what I call the grounded science, or better known, empirical science, and elevated science, the science of the spirit, the higher thought, the consciousness of the universe, and how they all converge to define the qualities of the world we live in. Whether we hold energy as an important factor, or nature, or technology, or the sounds of the military and political machine. It all has an impact on who we are and how we interact and how we go about changing the way we are to make it better not only for ourselves, but for the other people in our community, for our next generation, for the planet, and for perhaps the thoughts, the realities that we don't even understand. I work as an animal ecologist, and you'll be going, "What is an animal ecologist?" Well, it's a really new science that's come out that we have put together through a project called the Balanced Horse Project. And you can go to a website called thebalancedhorseproject.net, or you can check it out on Facebook if you want more information. Ecology is based on the science or the desire to bring things into equilibrium, to create a natural form of balance, not an artificial form of balance or a mechanical form of balance, but using energy and the natural resources of sound and light, the electromagnetic fields, the human intent, to create a regenerative change, or to ask the body to heal itself, but not just fix a cut or sprained ankle or deal with a singular state of disease. In ecology, we ask the body as a whole thing to change. And you go, "What? That can't happen? Because I go to the doctor and he gives me a pill and it fixes my sore throat, or I get a flu shot and it makes sure I don't get sick until I get home, and then I run a temperature and I get sick." No, it's not a single action. And the important thing about ecology is it's totally energetic. It is totally dependent on the emotional vibration of the environment. which is why it happens very easily. These transformations happen spontaneously and very easily when the animals, and sometimes the people, are living in an organic or natural environment. And perhaps it's not a new science. Perhaps it's just an old science that's come to light. Because you see, I believe that it's the foundation for our shamanic traditions, our energetic healers. It has the offshoots into the essential oils that were used during the biblical times, the oracles, the seers, and the healers. That resonant vibrational energy that surrounds each and every one of us can be amplified, that's made larger, or can be reduced by the environments we live in. And so when I apply my craft as an ecologist, I'm able to take the animal who may be lame or may be grumpy, want to hurt people and push them out of the space, and I use the vibration of the environment and my knowledge of birth trauma to go in and make a suggestion to the animal's body that perhaps being crooked is not really all that great. And if the body would acknowledge how crooked it is, then maybe it would work better if it straightened itself out. And this is done through energy and intent and some really passive pressure to reenact the act of being born. Is it effective? Well, it's a new science. It's been here in application for 12 years at our farm, and I'm in the process of trying to get it out into the mainstream thinking. People go, it can't happen, it's impossible, because I studied science in school. I have a degree in medicine. I'm a physicist. I know everything that goes on in the world of nature. And have you ever stopped to think that at some point in our lives, in our human history, the science of nature has been misdirected, tinkered with, or certain secrets have been cloistered away from the mainstream thinkers? It's a very interesting concept because, you see, I document all the changes that happen with the animals. I've worked on animals here at our farm. I've worked on animals that live 1,800 miles away, and the results are exactly the same. So how does that happen when it defies the exact science, the education that I received in school, and that perhaps you got too? How does that happen? Well, they say knowledge is power. And when you're really powerful, sometimes you don't want to share that knowledge. And so by not sharing the knowledge, we're maybe limiting ourselves to not advancing, not becoming who we really truly are. The knowing people of the earth, the people, the humans, oh, all the things that we could do if we actually had the knowledge, if we are actually empowered. Just the sound of my voice reaching out to you, whether it's through your radio or through the computer, it has an effect on who you are. The noise that you live with every day, the traffic, the music, the words that you hear from the TV telling you the latest news, it all causes us to take and make a form, a shape. It influences who we are every day. Oh, hold your imaginations. Keep your dreams alive. Take a breath. Say, don't forget. You're listening to East Logic Radio, and I'm going to be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned. Mm-hmm. take a breath. Sink down into your body. Relax. Just pretend it's a moment of pure joy. Whether it's that exhausted feeling after you've gone and jogged a couple of miles, or you've done your stretching and your meditation and yoga, or you've gone out and you've lifted weights, or you've spent a joyous moment with your children in the park. Take a breath, melt into your thoughts, and understand that we're not all that different. We're pretty close to being the same. The difference is the things we choose to believe in that shapes and forms our lives. The patterns of our physical bodies are defined first by the traumas that are imprinted in our cellular memory, which pull our muscles tight and twist our frames, our skeletons, our bodies. And when we become twisted and a little uncomfortable, we start to have these emotional shifts, these expressions of personality. And when these personal expressions happen, it's usually because somewhere in our body there's a place of pain. And we don't really understand that because our brain shuts it off. We live in the conscious thought. We pay attention to the surroundings, political drama, the financial stress, the quality of food we eat. We don't really listen to that subconscious brain that says, hey, you just snapped at somebody for doing something because, geez, you don't really realize that you have a pain in your back. And that's where equology comes in and is able to help horses and dogs and cats. And I dare say in the future it'll help you and me. Because you see, we take that memory, that pain, that influence of maybe a violent environment, and we say, I wonder if we can untangle it. Just like untangling a great big spider web or a great big ball of yarn. You see the energy cords, the string theory from quantum physics, they're not that far apart. The woven ball of energy from the Native Americans' energy circle, the magic medicine, the weaving of the acupunctural lines, the ley lines of the human being, they all become entangled. And when you can take and untwist the frame of the body, it allows these energy cords to open up, to allow the harmonic sounds of nature, the world around us, to actually pluck these different threads, the acupuncture system, your conscious being, and play it like a harp. And with each vibration, say the wind coming through the trees, or the sunlight filtering through your eyes, they each provide a different vibration, a different sound wave, which ripples through not just your conscious thought, but the actual physical parts of who you are. And so when you go to maybe a movie, and it's an action movie, and there's lots of guns going off, and bombs, and high drama, and noise, it leaves an impression, a lasting impression, in your cellular memory of who you are. That imprint of noise rattles the water in your brain, and it leaves an image. It reflects back out to the world that, hey, I just got altered by something that didn't really harmonize with the reality of natural life. It's kind of a interesting thing, because right now, with all the things that are going on in the world, you would think people would be able to see that a lot of it is directly designed to manipulate how you think. There's dramas going on in war. And if you live in the United States, you hear the drum roll every day of going to war, going to war. But have you ever stopped to actually look at what it is you're going to war about? And have you ever taken and used your computer to listen to maybe news that comes from outside of the borders of the USA? Because you see, there's a new generation of people that understand that the Darwin theory of the survival of the strongest is not a natural thing. And that these people are starting an evolution in the higher conscious thought of man. And if you take the time to pay attention to what's going on outside of the control drama that is being conducted in the United States, you will soon see that people are putting pressure on their politicians to change their ways. That's a big deal. Take a breath and pull that thought in. Wouldn't it be lovely for people to sit down and negotiate and come to agreement on how things could work out better if we created mutual respect? You see, Darwin wrote a thesis on evolution, which created a huge, huge stir in the religious world. It was the first time that science actually stood up and said, hey, you know what? Man is constantly evolving. Nature is constantly evolving. And God, well, he may play a role in there somewhere, but we scientifically can't prove it, so scientifically, it doesn't exist. And that's where the moral dilemma started to fracture man's attention and pull us into the science of nature rather than the spirit of nature. So when you can come to the realization that the conversation of the strongest is the one that survives, that animals in the wild fight for domination so that that line, that family line, survives, you soon understand that it's really got another layer involved. Maybe the wild horse, the stallions, fight for a different reason. Maybe dominant dogs fight for a different reason. And maybe survival is the outcome, but it may not be the primary goal. And so for human beings to say, I'm the strongest country, and therefore I shall survive because I'm going to go out and create war and fight and defend my philosophies in life, may not necessarily hold a truth, may not have value. But you see, when you take and step away from the isolated incident between two individuals and you look at the whole system, you soon decide that maybe nature, like the threads of energy that I untwine in the body, depends on relationship, depends on community. It's a mutually intertwined network that one section depends on the other to survive, not to pull itself apart, not to disintegrate, but to grow, to expand, to bring new understanding and knowledge into the reality of who we are. I'm going to take a break. I just want you to hold the thought of working with a friend, a community, and bringing them in and listening to Isologic Radio. I'll be back in a minute. just hold the most amazing happiness in your heart. Hi, I'm back. It's Patricia Cleveland, and it's Isologic Radio. You know, there's all kinds of sounds in our lives, and we don't really understand the role that they play. But, you know, if you have a bad day, what are the best sounds to pick up your energy? What are the best sounds to change your life at that moment? Is it the sound of a child laughing? That is the most helpful sound, the most joyous thing that you can bring into your presence. And if you don't have a child laughing, what can you do? Well, I think you could start laughing just yourself. I have laughed at some of the most terrible situations and people think I'm horrible. But as soon as I start laughing, this doom and gloom and separation, oh, the bad stuff, the drama, it melts away. And instead, there's this peace that comes in, this security, this grounding of the moment. I work with some pretty dangerous animals. I'm not kidding. I work with horses that have to be inspected by a veterinarian, and because they're so dangerous, they have a legal way of saying this animal's too dangerous, he's a public safety hazard, and he must be euthanized. And those animals may be moved out of the state where that legal order has come across, and they end up at our farm. And I will go and I will stand in the presence of a horse who has most probably hurt somebody really badly. And I'll size him up as he sizes me up. And I will change the environment by my laughter. And that horse who takes himself so seriously, because you see, he's been able to run around and threaten people, he's actually become an animal warrior. Because he feels that he has the right to protect his body, because inside he knows he's painful. And outside he knows that the human animal, the human consciousness, has not got a frickin' clue about the impact of our actions in his world. And so to protect himself, he decided to push us out of his space. And when that happens with most animals, whether it's a dog or a horse or whatever you're living with, when that animal pushes you away, he's saying, hey, man, I got something to protect. It's usually pain. It's usually the pain that I'm aware of and you can't see, you don't know about. So I'm going to push you out of my space. And when you can become aware of those actions, just like a country going to war, you realize how weak that animal actually is. And instead of stepping into the role of, well, I'm going to take control of your life, and because I'm the human being here, I'm the guy with the knowledge, I'm the guy with the power, I control your life, I stand back and I laugh. And I laugh, and I may laugh for, oh, a minute. I may laugh for 5 minutes. I may laugh until I am almost doubled over with tears running down my face and my stomach muscles aching. I laugh until a question mark crosses the presence of that animal's expression. They will move from being big and strong and, oh, I know how to look after myself and I know how to hurt you, to, what is it you're doing? I've never seen a person laugh before. Hey, you're laughing at me. But I'm the guy. I'm the big bully. I'm the strong one here. Laughter. It changes the power. It reverses who's in control. When you can laugh at the things that tell you you should be afraid of, if you can stand in laughter, what you do is you discharge the image of the thing that's trying to control you. It melts. It withers. Because you see, you do play a role in providing it with energy, with providing it with the ability to control you. And when you laugh, you break that connection. You break that fear, that guilt, that, oh my gosh, the what if. And it allows you to then reshape the relationship. Because now, with the knowledge and the power of laughter, you control the thing that wanted to control you. And so when I stand in laughter at a horse, and they finally go, wait a minute, she's laughing. She's laughing at what I'm projecting. She's laughing at my behavior. And before you know it, the big, strong, aggressive horse will put his head down. And I will step in close and say, hey, man, it's okay. I'm not really laughing at the inner you. I'm laughing at the game you play. I'm laughing at the drama. I'm laughing at the idiocy of the human animal nature relationship. Because you see, somewhere somebody told you you were less than who you are, and that puts you on the defensive. And you decided to push me around. You said that your body was more important than my desire. And in that judgment, you are correct. And I, as an ecologist, as an energetic farmer, an energetic horseman, a natural healer, I see you and I honor you. And please, 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 understand that the actions I'm about to provide are here to help your body realize that it doesn't have to live in pain anymore. And so I go about and I do my job. And the change in the horse's interaction, his behavior, is amazing. It's like unwrapping a Christmas present. You just really don't know what's inside until you get all the wrapping and the trapping off. And you go, oh my gosh, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it amazing? What a gift. And these animals, they get a second chance at life. That is an amazing thing. Because what happens is I change the way the animal thinks. I straighten out his body so that the energy fields in our environment help him to heal. And when he feels whole, he feels confident and he's not afraid because he doesn't have to live in pain. And all of a sudden, the dumb animal that we all think we live with, the thing that we, the pet that we feed, we love, we take out for walks and we train, actually starts to say, hey man, I'm not the dumb animal anymore. I don't have to hide behind my mask and I don't have to react because I'm afraid of how you're going to touch me, what you're going to do to create my body, to fill it up with pain. What happens is they say, hey, you know what? I'm aware. I'm intelligent. I'm just like you. I am smart. I have knowledge. I have a language. I have culture. I have a feeling. I have a family. And I have an awareness that is, 10 to 20 times greater than who you are as a human being. That's pretty amazing. For a human to understand an animal and then to have the animal come back and say, hey, if you treat me with respect, if you bring me together as an equal in your relationship, I will teach you about the natural world. I will teach you that you don't have to use guns and bombs to control people. I can teach you that you can live in community without the need for money and work. That's a pretty astounding shift in awareness. Hold the thought. This is Isologic Radio. And I'm taking a break. I'll be back in a minute. If you like what you hear or you have a question, you know, you can send me an email at isologicradio@gmail.com. You can visit my website, which is the Balanced Horse Project, and that's a .net. And don't be a stranger to say hi to me. That's Pat Cleveland on Facebook, or you can find me at the Balanced Horse Project on Facebook. All of my efforts, all of my wisdom and experience, I don't think is anything new. I've had to go through and try to use empirical methods of measurement to define something that's extremely energetic. I actually think it's really, really old wisdom that I work with as an aquologist. I think quantum physics and mechanics and new thought is actually defining something that shamanic traditions, and maybe prior to shamanic traditions, already knew. You see, we're surrounded by sound and natural frequencies. The light, the sound, the wind, maybe the pulse of the magnetic center of the earth. The harmonics that come out of the universe. I think they all push energy. And when energy slows down to certain speeds, it takes certain forms. Just kind of like changing channels on a TV. You have different programs on different stations. Well, here's a thought. Because I question why animals that I've worked with as an aquologist, and when I've rebirthed them and straightened out their bodies, why do they become so smart? Why do they start teaching me, the human, more about my living space and more about how to do better than any of my peers? I got to the point where I actually see animals as higher intellects, higher thinking consciousnesses. They are tapped into the energy frequencies of the world we live in because they don't stand upright. They're horizontal, and their systems run completely different. I actually describe an animal as a human in an animal suit. So a horse holds the same intelligence. And I don't care about IQ factors and behavioral studies, okay? Because I think there's a lot of misdirection in the science that we're experiencing as truth. I'm saying this as a person who developed a whole system of rebirthing the animal to use organic and energetic resources to do something that medicine cannot do. And I didn't read this in a book, and maybe it dropped into my brain through meditation and higher guidance. But the directors of the program were the horses. The horses that I worked with, the research animals I kept in my herd. Now that's a pretty amazing thing to say, that without the presence and interaction of horses who were telling me how to use organic methods to release them from the imprisonment of physical pain, and to have them turn around and say, okay, you've done this, this, and this, and it worked. Now here's step 4, 5, and 6. Keep growing. And by the way, here's the foundation for a physical language that we've been trying to get you humans to understand for years. And when you can open up and start to understand the energy relationship, the shared space between a horse's aura and a human aura, and when you step into the horse's field, that you are plugged into, and they actually send you information. And whether you get it as a sensation of feeling or a picture or taste, or you just happen to see something that, I don't know, attracts your attention, then you suddenly realize that you're in connection with nature. And the animals that we live with, the plants that are in our houses, are just as intellectually aware as we are. And actually, we're kind of the mutant species. We're the ones that don't understand how sound influences our body, how sound influences our emotional state. We don't understand how important it is to have food that's balanced and holds minerals. Because we just go out and support companies that make food out of GMO products. We go to the doctor and validate the importance of having vaccines and shots. We invest in things that take us away from nature. We invest in things that degenerate the human state. I don't know about you, but I think I have a responsibility here. And my responsibility is to share and to grow and to interact on a level of awakening. You see, in schools, the teachers are only allowed to teach the science that the school says it wants taught. And of course, we're going to be really conservative here and say we want the standardized science that we've been working with for the last, 150 years, 200 years, 300 years. How far back do you want to go? And when they do that, they're stopping the progression of new thought, the new science that's out there that a lot of people are not even aware of. People laugh at quantum physics, but quantum physics has a role in defining nature, and quantum physics has a role in validating your conscious interaction with the environment that you live in. And when we can accept the new science, and if you have to go out on the internet and do your own research, don't be afraid. There's lots of people and lots of peer-reviewed theories, results out there that suggest there's a new way of thinking. And that if you stay in the old format, the one that says you're divided, isolated, and you have to fight to survive, well, then you're missing out on a great opportunity here. A place that says you are. You are whole. You are part of something greater than who you are at this moment. So, don't be afraid. If you have these little thoughts that run through your head, listen to them. Act on them. You don't know if it's coming from your dog. You don't know if it's coming from your goldfish. You don't know if it's coming from a higher source. But when you don't act on the instinctive direction, you're missing out on a chance to reach out and interact with life. Yeah, with life. You see, life is supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be drudgery. It's not supposed to be filled with stress. That's man-made. Nature didn't make it. Nature gave us the ability to think and to adapt. And man, through his need to control the knowledge, he has set up some pretty amazing mazes to run his slave, his thinking human worker bee, to run us and push us until we drop dead. So, if you're going to work that hard, give yourself a moment and take a break and start laughing. Just say, hey, there's a point in my life where I have the right to say I've had enough. And yes, I can go to work and I can perform what I need to do. But I need to spend time with my animals. I need to spend time in nature. I need to hold a place of honor for myself. And when you do that, you become more complete. You become whole. And that's a really good gift to give yourself. Because if you can reduce the stress in your life, you will become healthier. You will become much happier. And when you're happier, things in your life manifest easily. You're able to take action. You're able to move in and say, guess what? I can take control of what I need. I can bring towards me the things in life that support the real me. Oh, dear. I don't know what your thoughts are on all this, but you can write me at esologicradio@gmail.com and let me know how you feel about what my words say to you. Take a breath. Laugh. Just take a minute and laugh, because Esologic Radio will be back in a minute. Did you laugh? Do you feel your body change? Oh, it's so amazing when you laugh. I just don't quite understand why more people don't laugh. Just take a minute. Right now, laugh. See what happens. Ah, man. When I go out and I speak with people, the first thing we do is we laugh. Yes. When you're with your animal, do they make you laugh? Well, sometimes that's their job, is to make you laugh. I don't know. You get stuck watching TV, and you forget to go and find something good to do. You get stuck at work, you're pushing to make that deadline, and you forget to go out and do something fun. You get sick. And you know what? You focus on the drama. Yes. Oh, I'm sick. I have a pain. I'm just not right. I need to pull people around me. I need a network of people to help me heal. And sometimes we feed off those people. We don't mean to. We pull their energy into who we are. Sometimes the healer, the primary caregiver of somebody who is sick, either takes on the disease or experiences a shorter life. And in elderly people, it's quite often you'll see it. You'll have, say, the husband is really, really sick, and his wife will go and work and slave to make sure that he's comfortable and he's well looked after. And in doing so, she gives of her heart and her soul. And she ends up dying before her partner does. Because, you see, the partner who is sick, whether he's aware of it or not, his body, his energetic body, starts to feed off of her body, her energy. He uses her support and her love to hold him together as one. That happens quite a bit. So if you're struggling with a state of disease, do this for yourself. Get rid of the stress. Get rid of the guilt. Get rid of the what ifs. Look at your fear. What is it that you are afraid of? Are you afraid of not living? We'll start laughing. Yes, laugh at it. Are you afraid of the description of your disease? Start laughing at it. Are you afraid of the doctor and what he's about to say? Well, let him say his piece and start laughing. And laugh until you cry. Because just by shaking your body up with the vibrations of joy, you're going to change the situation. You're going to change the impact of those negative thoughts and those negative words. Oh, just take a breath and say, wow, I live in an amazing world. And if you can step away from the artificial stuff of the stock market and all that stuff, and just go and find yourself a quiet place, a patch of green grass, a great big old tree. Take a minute. Don't pay attention to what other people are thinking or saying about you. Take a minute. Maybe go over and wrap your arms around a tree. Just think, I love you. And let the feeling of I love you be echoed back. As you see, the bark of the tree is the living part of the tree. And when you touch it, you are touching the life of the tree. You are touching the wisdom and the knowledge of that tree. And just think, that tree may be, 50 years older than you, maybe 100 years older. Think of all the wisdom that's sitting in the energy body of the tree. Take your dog. Don't squeeze them. Take your cat. Don't cuddle them. Just let them be with you. And in your heart, put out, thank you. I really love you. You know, you really help my life. You complete my day. You bring me into an awareness that, you know, I really am not able to pick up on unless I'm around you. And you'll find that the artificial running around, the jumping, the stupidity that's trained into our animals to hide their true self, it'll all kind of blend away. You'll have a partner of equal or greater intelligence. And if you honor them and understand that they're just like you, they live in a physical body, they live with physical pain, that you both suffer the same responses, the same emotions. They are described differently by empirical terms. Because you see, humans and animals can't possibly be the same. No, they've got to be different. But you come from the same origin. You live in the same world. You eat the same basic foods. You have the same basic primal responses. And that is to be in connection with somebody else. Not to live alone, but to live in community. To bring balance to your life, to help somebody who doesn't have the same talents as you, and maybe their talents complement yours. And when you work together, you create this herd or a pack. And as a pack, as a group, your likelihood of survival is much greater than being one person standing against the storm. Coming into natural community, whether it's like-minded thoughts, whether it's a goal, whether it's a trauma, all of it is based on energy and how you choose to use it, how you can employ it to change the world, to change the need to go to war, to change the fear of not having enough food or a place to live. Because when you work together, there's no more fear. There may be conversations and debates, but you become more effective as a whole. You become a living organism. You become a bigger body than just you. You become alive by connecting to other people. So just understand these things. You know, there's times where I stand up and talk to people and I help them grow through the wisdom of the animals. So let's say it's all up to you and what you choose to do. Take a breath. This is Isa Logic Radio. Laugh. It's a great day. So, you know, we each have a challenge and we each have goals. Some goals we don't even know we have. They just kind of happen on our doorstep. My goal is to bring you some different perspectives on life. To understand that by working towards balance, not just physical balance, biochemical balance, to bring balance to a state of equilibrium through the whole system. What happens is we go on and we become greater because when we're balanced, we're more efficient and we can grow. Yes. And that growth takes us backwards in time, not forwards. When we become more balanced and our body becomes straighter and you start to use the energy of your environment to support who you are, well, guess what? You start to unravel the generational history of your physical form. You start to unravel the energetic insults of maybe the history going back to, I don't know, maybe you suffered through the Spanish Inquisition. Maybe you were left to die in the desert. Maybe you were a slave. Maybe you were a king or a queen. Maybe you lived on a completely different planet and had an experience that doesn't even relate to this physical world. But all that information is locked in your DNA. It's locked in the cells of your body. And you see, chemistry, medicine, stops us from using that information to improve the physical form that we take on, that we live in. And so that's one of the reasons why I think there's such a conflict going on in the world. So many separations, shifts in understanding who we are. The difference between the people who are invested in the medical system, the people who are invested in empirical science, the people who are invested in religion, the people who are invested in the New Age, the people who are invested in being whole without a definition. All those separations, I think, have been put there for a reason, and that is to really stop us from seeing our potential. Yeah, wouldn't it be really cool if you could say, I have the potential to change my world? And when I change my world, I shift into a relationship, a new relationship, a better balanced relationship with somebody else. I move into a better balanced relationship with the ecosystem I live in. And when I don't live in stress, when my body and my mind and my spirit are in balance, I have the ability to then ask for what I want, what I need to survive so that I can continue to live in a state of balance. And there's nothing wrong with asking for a roof over your head. And there is nothing wrong with asking for the stress of the workplace to diminish and allow your productivity to increase. And by doing that, your financial security improves. Or maybe you're an artist and you need inspiration. It unlocks your imagination. And on the imagination of man, we have the potential to reshape the reality of everything else. So when I go to the barn and I laugh at the defiant, dangerous horse, and I hold the pictures of what I want him to become, which is healthy and self-satisfied and confident enough to reach out emotionally and energetically to have a relationship with man, his abuser, then when I hold those pictures, that is what the animal, while he's going through his transformation, while he's going through his energetic rebirth into his physical form, that is what he takes on. If I stand at and work with an animal and say, I don't think I can heal you. I don't think I can change your world. It will not change. But if I work with the animal and say, I believe anything is possible. Actually, I have this little saying, and you're quite welcome to use it. It goes like this. There's nothing too amazing to be true. Only experiences waiting to be acknowledged. And holding that thought, you can tell me that something is impossible. And because I've chosen to laugh at life and to honor who I am and try to maintain a balanced, harmonic state in my body, I will break your rule. I will stand and say, I believe it's impossible for you to see who I am because right now you're not ready to see it. Or I will stand there and say, I believe it's possible for you to see me and to observe and acknowledge what I'm about to do. So as you travel through your own life, don't sit your limitations and understand that the sounds you make, the words you use, the things you choose to listen to, all play a role in how you interact and how you can relate and change and become something so amazing that you'll even surprise yourself. You surprise your dog. He'll go, hey, wait, what happened to that human? He wasn't all that together, and now look at him. I can actually have an intelligent conversation with him. I can actually tell him that, you know what, we're fixing to get an earthquake, man. You need to be aware that we need to do something right now because I'm really not sure if living in an apartment building is in our best interest. Come on, let's go outside and find something else to do, a place to be, a place where we can live without fear of other people who are living in fear trying to hurt us. Or maybe your animal will say, hey, I see you, man. Yep, you're not feeling too good. I think you need to really go and get checked out because I think you're going to get sick in a couple of days. You see, our animals tell us a lot. It's just that I don't think we have matured as a group to become ready to listen. But maybe you are. Maybe you want to listen. So just take a breath and take a moment today and laugh. And if you can, laugh with your pet, laugh with your plant, laugh with a friend. But just bring some joy into your life and know that it is going to change who you are. And it is going to change the stress that you live with. And laugh and remember to come back and listen to Isa Logic Radio. I've got to go for now. So, hey, send me an email at isalogicradio@gmail.com. And tune in next time. We'll see what kind of adventures we experience then. Bye now.